morning near and dears. Do you remember near and dears from last week? A day with the concentric circle. We're right after us comes the near and dears, and that's what we are. We're getting started now. Dave has caused a stir with his being here all month with us and the interest in Teilhard de Chardin. This interest is amazing. We're gathering and getting organized. Okay. We had 63 folks pre-registered, but last week 30 more people arrived at the door. So, and we have more that arrived today. So we have, as of last week, 93 registered for this class. There's energy then. Yes. Oh, and the Ryans are here. Good for you. Thanks. The energy is then and it is now, and in our room is apparent. When I come into the parking lot in the morning, and Bob's car is not in the parking lot, I have a little shudder. And I felt him here last week. I don't know if any of you did, but I felt him here last week, and I feel him right now. For those of you who don't know anything about Bob or unfamiliar with him, Bob was the glue that held Word and Life together for many years. He departed. We have had several Irish and Celtic seminars here, and we learned that when people pass away, they're on the other side of the veil. That's a Celtic issue. And since he departed to the other side of the veil, we've been working hard to fill his shoes. We're on it, Bob. Keep accompanying us, guy. Our mission here is to evolve together and to work towards connectedness. So that's what we're here. We miss Bob, and we are going to go forward. It was a rough job to figure out how we did go forward, because he did everything. And now it takes 8 of us to do what he did. We all have a job. So if you received an email from us last week, we have your email address. If you did not, please update that registration log if you want us to keep in touch with you. I have to know your email. I only had one bounce back. So there's a little arrow on that one, on the registration log. So check it. Fill in all the blanks. Fill in the phone numbers and address. Anything you want us to know, fill it in. All right. Thank you to the hospitality folks. Last week they did this week we're doing A and F. Last week we had a wonderful, abundant table, and it looks like we have another one today. Next week, if your name begins with G to M, it's your turn to bring a plated snack for at least 10 people. All right, and then the next issue is Jeanette, and thank you from Catholic Charities in Carpinteria. I see there's egg cartons and canned goods that are in the back there on the floor, and they're very much appreciated. If you have questions about Catholic Charities, is Jeanette here? There she is in the back. She'll answer all that. She's the one that brings the goods that we produce to Catholic Charities. All right, I only have 2 more announcements here. For those of us who are activists as well as contemplatives, there's 2 happenings that may appeal to you. On this Saturday, May 12th, from 5 to 8 at the Trinity Church, is a dinner and a panel and a conversation called Houseless in Santa Barbara. So if you're interested in that issue and you think that you would like to hear more about the panel, more from panelists and people that are interested in that issue, it's worthwhile. The next one I wanted to tell you about is Tuesday, May 15th at 9 o'clock at the Board of Supervisors meeting at 105 East Annapamu on the 4th floor. They urgently are enlisting community support for people needing housing who are cycling through the jail. They really don't need to be in jail, but there's no place to house them. So that is what this issue is about, and the people that are involved know that there is money in the coffers, and they're trying to channel it to that issue. It's just a reminder that we were all born with inherent dignity and things that we need to do to make sure that all people are treated that way. All right, with that, it's time for Dave to resume taking us through his book, Everything Ablaze, to eliminate... Oh, and there's one thing I wanted to mention before we bring Dave up. I was looking at chapter 6 last night, and I noticed Alice. Our Alice is noted on chapter 6, Sacred Heart of the Universe, page 54, a quote from Alice. And actually, the beginning of that chapter is all about doing things community-wise, helping the world. And that's what we're about. So Dave, if you want to come up and resume taking us through Everything Ablaze to eliminate for us the words and thoughts of Teilhard de Chardin.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy. Can everybody hear this way? Okay. Is it a little bit too high, maybe? I mean, it seems to have like a echo. Okay. Thank you. Amen. So our course is Everything Ablaze, Meditating on the Mystical Vision of Teilhard de Chardin, which is my title of my book. And the book is the course. And then when I give these talks, I look at some of the points. But when you do the readings, which... I leave up to you. You decide how much of it you want to read each time. But when you do read it, and if you have questions, mark in the margin where your question is and bring it up here when you come to the class. So if you do have questions from last week's reading, just feel free to come up to the microphone and ask. Now, the title has the word mystical in it, and we talked a little bit last time about what mystical means. It's basically having a spiritual sense that's completely free of dualism. So instead of there being a God out there and you down here, it would be a godliness everywhere in you and around you. Now, I'd like to take a look at one other feature of this. Let's see. Which has to do with the mystical sense of time. So I'll start with this and let me know if everybody can see. Can everybody see this? So, I'll use the analogy of three holidays. February 2nd, the birthday of George Washington. We're commemorating something that happened in 1732, the day he was born. This holiday is entirely about something in the past. Thanksgiving Day commemorates how the pilgrims shared a harvest meal with the Native Americans in 1620. Everybody can still see? Can you see over this end? Okay. So, on this holiday, we're celebrating the past, and we ourselves are thankful for something. So we have our own dinner, and at this dinner, we do the same thing that the pilgrims did, which is express thanks for the bounty of nature. So this holiday is about the past and the present. Now look at the third one, which is New Year's Day. This one is only about the present. It's only about here and now. When New Year's comes again, 2019, we will not be celebrating 1919, only 2019. So it's entirely in the present. Everybody see the difference? Okay. So now let's go to Christmas. Three ways of looking at it. You could think of Christmas as commemorating a birth that happened 2,000 years ago. You could also be commemorating a birth that happened 2,000 years ago and how this coming of Christ, that is the entry of the divine into the human body and human history, is not only something that happened 2,000 years ago in the past, it's also happening now. You could say, well, on this Christmas, I have opened myself to let Christ be born in me. And Master Eckhart says, what good is it if Christ was born of Mary if he isn't also being born of me? Or, thirdly, you could say that there is an ever new birthing of the divine in human beings and in every moment and in every event. And that in that sense, Christmas is happening every day. So these religious events indeed took place sometime in the past, but when you're deeply religious, then they carry over into every moment. The mystical view is right here in the third option. So the mystical sense of time is it's ever renewing. It's always in the present, at this very moment, as Jung says, we are not God, but we are the only stable in which he can be born. And so if that's true for you right now, your faith has gone as far as this mystical sense of what Christ and religion is all about. So you could ask yourself, how far does my faith go? For some people, faith only goes this far. Christmas is about something that happened 2,000 years ago. I believe it happened, and there is nothing more to it. Or you could say, if your faith has gone another step, oh yes, Christmas happened in the past, but on Christmas it happens in me. Or you could go this far over to the third option and say, it's Christmas in every moment in which I say yes to the new birth that wants to happen. What is this new birth? The arrival on our planet of a whole new way of living, different from the usual style of injustice, war, and hate. Something new has been born. A kingdom of justice, peace, and love. Where there was injustice, there's now an appreciation of and a working toward justice. Where there was war, there is now the belief that we can have peace and we are working toward it, especially by speaking truth to power. Where there was hate and division, prejudice and bias, there's now a universal love. What does it mean that Christ would be born in us? It would mean that we are allowing that there's a new way of living. We're born into a new way that's different from the style of the Roman Empire or of any empire. So this is how mystical also means a caring for the world and a bringing to the world a whole new style. Everybody follow? I found this quote from Shakespeare, Henry V, so I could just like to share it. But talking about one of the characters, a largesse universal, like the sun, his liberal eye doth give to every one. I'll repeat it and then explain. A largest universal, like the sun, liberal eye doth give to every one. So the sun is so generous, it gives its light to all beings on the entire planet. It has a largesse, a generosity. I could be like the sun, I could have that same largesse, if I had a universal love, which would make my vision, his liberal eye, be so liberal in its extent that I would give my love to everyone the same way the sun gives its light to everyone. That would be another summary of It's Christmas Right Now. And Easter and Good Friday and Pentecost. Everybody follow? The days, December 25th is a commemoration, but every day is when Christmas is happening. It's not like the birth of George Washington, which happened in 1732 and never will happen again. It's not quite like Thanksgiving, which happened in 1620 and will happen again fourth Thursday of November. It goes one step beyond those two. Everybody follow? Any questions about this? Okay, I'm glad I have a chance to explain it this way. Helps us see the whole concept of mystical. So, I'm on page 45 of our book, Everything Ablaze, and I just wanted to mention this quotation from Teilhard. He believed that Christ was not limited to the body of the man who walked around in Israel 2,000 years ago. He says, Christ has a cosmic body. In other words, the whole cosmos is his body. It extends throughout the universe. That's another example of your faith going farther than we were originally taught. We were originally taught, well, there's somebody born in Bethlehem, and that's Jesus, and he is the Messiah, the Christ. But Teilhard's view is always taking us into something much bigger. So on that same page, to live the cosmic life rather than just a personal individual life, the one we usually feel ourselves in, to live the cosmic life is to live dominated by a consciousness, a big awareness, that I am an atom, A-T-O-M, in the body of the mystical and cosmic Christ. And instead of the mystical body of Christ being the Roman Catholic Church, the mystical body of Christ is the entire universe. The man who lives this way dismisses as irrelevant all these preoccupations that absorb other people. His life is projected further, and his heart is more widely receptive. So what does it mean to have Christ be born in you? Suddenly your life is bigger than your lifetime, and your heart is bigger than only referring to your near and dear. Near and dear refers to everyone. I wanted to read this one other paragraph. No, I'm on 46. We have a cosmic identity. So here I am, David, born in New Haven, Connecticut. And the information about me is on my driver's license, as is the information about you. But what if I had a bigger identity, which I'm rarely aware of, but at special moments in nature it seems to come through, that I'm bigger than what could be accommodated by New Haven, Connecticut. We have a cosmic identity, a cosmic calling. So a calling that's bigger than just the work you do, and a destiny that's bigger than your goals in life. We are here, what would this bigness be? We are here to join in Christ's eternal yes to the evolving of our planet. I'm not just here to do the best I can do in the career I'm in. There's a presence in this world that is ever saying yes to more and more consciousness and more connectedness. That's evolution. When I join in that, then I have found my cosmic identity. We do this by more and more caring and compassionate connectedness, that is, by more and more love. We show this love by a zealous concern for the earth and all beings on it. And when I have faith big enough to trust this love as burning within me, I will, as Pope John Paul II said, find in myself the love that was in Christ. That's a truly mystical statement, to find in yourself the love that's in Christ. So instead of looking at a picture of the Sacred Heart and saying, oh, that's the love that Christ, that shows the love that Christ has for me and for everyone, I would instead say, oh, that's the heart that's inside me when I let myself be more receptive and more open and more caring than just my near and dear when it expresses itself for everyone. Now, regarding this cosmic identity, let's use another example. The seventh or eighth day, after a Jewish baby is born, he is circumcised. So that happens, say, we don't obviously don't know the day Christ was born, but we say December 25th because in pagan times, the worship of the sun was commemorated on December 25th when there's a beginning of more light. So hence December 25th, and he was circumcised on January, then he would be circumcised on January 1st. So on this day, he was brought to the temple by Mary and Joseph, and he was made into a child of Abraham. Abraham is an ancient patriarch who believed in one God instead of many gods. And he was called to be the founder of a family of faith. He had two wives. And by one wife, he brought about the Jewish people, and by the other, he brought about the Muslim people. And then, being the father of Jews, since Jesus was a Jew, he is also the father of Christians. So he's considered the father of the three major religions. Everybody follow? And one, of course, is a little different, but they have many things in common. So here he is on January 1st, becomes a child of Abraham. But something happened to him in the course of life so that when he became an adult, he said something very interesting. Which you'll find in your book. He said, before Abraham came to be, I am. He used the very words that describe the God of Abraham. When Moses asked God, who are you? He said, I am. That's who I am. I am. So, something happened to the consciousness of Jesus. Child of Abraham is tribal. He's in the tribe of Israel. He moved from tribal to universal. When he says, but wait a minute, I have a cosmic identity. I can no longer identify myself only as the priest did in the temple when he circumcised me. I have another identity that I became aware of. And this identity is totally beyond tribal connection. It's universal. I'm a universal human. That's who I am. And when I say who I am, I'm letting you know the good news that that's who you are too. People who live in Connecticut are called nutmeggers because nutmeg is one of the things we grow. So if I remain a nutmegger only, that would be like being in the tribal consciousness. But if I say, okay, yeah, I'm from there, just by accident, but my real identity is much bigger, it makes me no longer someone separate. It makes me part of everyone and everything. That's what's meant by before Abraham came to be, I am. Also, since he used the word I am, he's saying, this is where God is. It's in you when you have this cosmic consciousness. This is what Teilhard noticed and is sharing with us. Everybody follow? Now let's use one last example, then we'll open up for any questions. As a believing Jew, he would often have recited the Psalm 23, which starts, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I have everything if I have him as a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay, now we have the Lord. Lord is separate from me. We have the word my. Lord is God. And then there's also I. The Lord is my shepherd. So it has a dualism in it. I'm the sheep, he's the shepherd. But look, knowing this, knowing that this was the prayer, in his adult consciousness, he said something new. He said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. I am the good shepherd. There's the I am again. But look, it's no longer dual. It's not there's a shepherd up there taking care of me. It's I am the good shepherd, and I'm shepherding everybody around me and myself and the planet. That's what's meant by cosmic identity. And every I am refers to us too. So I'm here to be a shepherd, a caretaker of this planet, not just to be what they told me to be in Connecticut, which is a good citizen who obeys the laws. There's a new consciousness coming through to me and all of us that it was always about more than that. It was always about more than just being a good citizen. It's about having such a sense of your calling in the world that it has opened you more and more to the concerns and needs of the entire planet. That's why everything is ablaze. Okay, any questions about this part? Oh, yes. If you have a question... Can you come up to the microphone? Do we need to lower it a little bit? Oh, it's not a question. Yeah. No, it's still okay. No, it's always questions or comments. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Tony.
Hi, Tony.
And my name is Tony.
Yeah, you can hear.
How is okay? This is better. I have a comment.
Yeah.
And I hope I don't take too long. I had an experience when I was in my, it was in the 80s, sometime in 1980. And I, in those days, I was practicing Buddhist meditation on a regular basis, most of the 1980s. And I would have these periodic woo-woo experiences that were marvelous and non-sustaining. But anyway, one time, I was sitting in bed, just happened to be sitting there. I wasn't meditating, I wasn't doing anything, and suddenly I was everywhere. Suddenly it was like I was in space. And that lasted probably only a few seconds, maybe more. But I was in space. I was everywhere. And I was an individual, but I was in space. That's all I can say. And it was really dramatic to me. And so that's the one about being cosmic. Mm-hmm. And then after seeing Men in Black, at the end, I realized exactly how I feel about being in the world. That I am a cell that's part of the earth. The earth is a cell that's part of the, you know, and it goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
We are universal. So then there's this personal part where I have congenital heart disease, and I had an operation when I was 12 where they thought they were going to do something in my heart, and it was the wrong diagnosis, so nothing was done. And I was sewn back up and went on with my life. And now, that was when I was 12. Now I'm 72. And what happened to me then happens to people now. This is the actual surgery. Happens to people now practically in the doctor's office. Instead of 2 weeks, 52 stitches, long time, it is like in the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm feeling sorry for myself, which is frequent, I realize that I'm here for another reason, and it's for that surgery. So that's my way of being. So I'm not anything. I don't consider myself religious, but I like being here. So.
Well, good for you. Yeah. And I would consider that religious.
Okay.
Yeah. And religion is from a Latin word which means connected. So.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
I have a question.
Yeah.
The cosmic Christ that you described to us, which I very much relate to, doesn't that this notion transcend space and time?
Mm.
So when you say that Christ was born, that is associating the Christ consciousness strictly with Jesus in space and time. What about the Christ consciousness that the Buddha expressed? So the Christ consciousness, I think, came with the Big Bang, but wasn't an awareness. And Jesus was a full-blown awareness, an awakening. Oh, my God, this is what we can be.
Mm.
So anyway, that's kind of, I just can't accept a cosmic definition that is limited in space and time. It just doesn't sit. I don't know why, but otherwise, Western world was the favored one in space and time 2,000 years ago. I don't know. It just...
Yes, it would be. I'm so glad you brought this up, Christiane, and I agree totally, of course. It's happening in every moment, in every person.
In every time,
yeah,
space,
at all
past
time.
And
yeah.
present.
It
even
can't
though
be limited.
We might have been troglodytes, but we still had it in us,
mm-hmm.
but weren't expressing it. The awareness increased.
So yeah. And hopefully keeps increasing.
Yes, hopefully.
So when the shepherds heard from the angels that a child has been born who will be a savior, savior from what? From injustice, war, and hate, and show us the way and give us the grace to follow the way toward justice, peace, and love. When they heard that message, they thought to themselves, oh, we have to follow the star to the stable, and there we will behold Mary and Jesus. That's how they thought. But now they would think this way. Oh, we're finding out who we are. We're following the star to ourselves. We are being born in a new way today. We will honor Jesus and Mary, but we will realize that they represent or personify what we're really about. So instead of having to go somewhere, they would have found peace on earth, goodwill to men, inside themselves. Everybody follow? That would be the difference. Cindy?
Just, I knew that that would come up in terms of Christ, using the word Christ consciousness. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I've been present at Buddha's birthday.
Okay. December 8th?
Yeah. But
I mean,
no,
that's his own life.
Yeah, May 5th.
May 5th, okay.
Okay. And the Buddhists celebrate Buddhist consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have it. I mean, as you are a Christian, we call it Christ consciousness. But there is a consciousness that is beyond the word Christ.
It's
too.
A universal human. Yeah.
That's right. And I think that it really everybody has it. And I do think what I'm wondering with this child of Abraham, Hagar was not a wife. She was a slave girl that Sarah gave to her. So that's, it puts her in another dimension. And so I'm wondering, as some of the girls I work with at a prison wonder, what happened to Hagar? Is there anything that we know from the Muslim point of view of that history between Hagar being sent out in the desert with Ishmael,
mm-hmm.
and the founding of Muslim?
Yeah, we don't have much information.
We don't have
that. Yeah, because the Bible doesn't say much.
I thought you might know, but
no.
I mean, that is a question. The Bible really says nothing, you know.
No.
But I was thinking that maybe the Muslim people do. But that's a universal...
Right, that would be an example.
That's a universal example, too, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the son of Hagar and Abraham is Ishmael. He's the... shall we say, father of the Muslim people, and the son of Abraham and his legitimate wife, Sarah, is Isaac. He's the father of the Jewish people.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't want to go too far afield, so I don't know if this question is too far afield, but how
you
does...
You go as far as you want.
All right. The universe.
Cosmos. Yeah.
How does the concept of the Trinity play into what we're talking about? That's
okay.
My question.
So in the Trinity, we're becoming aware of three energies, shall we say, or archetypes. So creative, that would be personified by Father. Redemptive is personified by Son, S-O-N. And love and wisdom, personified by Holy Spirit. So instead of thinking, oh, well, there's a God in three persons only, you would say, especially since we're made in the image of God, I have some creative powers in me. I have some redemptive powers. I have love and wisdom in me. And when I express them, I am living the life of God in my lifetime. Or another way of saying it is, I'm finding out why I have a lifetime. Why do I have a lifetime? So that I could bring this Trinitarian consciousness into the world. And secondly, one last thing. And secondly, if in the Christian view, there is a God in three persons, that's the equivalent of saying God is a community rather than a separate person. So that means that whenever I act in the world as if I'm part of a community rather than a separate person, mm-hmm. I am living in accord with the image that I was made in. Everybody follow?
That's kind of what I was getting at, because I've just been reading about the relationality of the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why I asked the question.
Good.
But you have...
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, Dennis?
I wanted to go back to in the beginning of your talk when you were talking about time.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me that you were making a distinction between commemorative time and incarnational time. That there's a sense that when you celebrate Christmas as the continual incarnation of kindness, not in the past and now and into the future and everywhere, that that's gives a different meaning to incarnation. And it seems to be related to what Meister Eckhart was suggesting, that Christ should be born in the heart of each person. That's the most important part.
Mm-hmm. That and is more than a commemoration.
Yes. And then I wrestle with using kind of European language to refer to a global process that... I intend to include other people, but I'm using very European words. So the way I myself have worked that out in my own prayers is through the idea of the heart of everything, the heart of being. So I have an individual heart, and my individual heart is related to the universal heart. And since all the Hindus and Buddhists and Confucianists and Communists and everybody else, that they each one have a heart, and that they have experiences about full-heartedness, that I like that vocabulary because it helps me to stand on an equal footing with everyone. Thank you.
Good for you. Thank you.
I'm going to add one thing.
Yeah.
That for me and for almost everyone here, our background is the Judeo-Christian tradition. So this is how we express that. But I have learned, it's taken me a few years, but I've learned that that is just but one expression of this relationality of the Trinity, that the Trinity exists in relationship, and that that relationship extends throughout the cosmos.
Mm. Yes, thank you, John.
Yeah,
that makes so much sense. So you're, the same thing happened in you that happened in Jesus, which is your consciousness moved from the limited view to the universal view, reminding us of the quote from Henry V. Shakespeare must have thought to himself, oh, look, the sun shines on everything. Maybe that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a comment to the question about Hagar and Ishmael.
Yeah.
There's a book, Abraham, Father of Three Faiths. In paraphrasing something it says in there somewhere, when Abraham banished Hagar and Ishmael, he sent them to a place made for them where she would be safe. And that, to me, implies a divine intervention.
Mm. Good. Thank you, Lee. Okay, well, I think we're ready for our break, and we'll come back here soon.